WFXX.
The Fox. Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College. And a very pleasant good manic Monday morning to you as we kick off a brand new week right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's your old pal, Ironhead. It's your even older pal, Mr. Gazy.
Ouch.
We have snowflakes falling beautifully and yet miserably outside the studio here this morning. Folks, if you are having the issue that we are, you may want to try to stream the show this morning. Darn near impossible to listen to our station on the radio. We apologize. The ongoing technical issues that apparently we can't do a damn thing about. So streaming would be your best option this morning if you were able to at 987thefox.info or just put up with the periodic, very irritating, frequent dropouts. This morning. In the meantime, phone line is open, 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266. We'll get you into the big show this morning as we deal with the winter wonderland that is the Valley of Happiness this morning. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will join us.
Oh.
Or so we believe at 940 this morning.
Yes, he will. All right. See, you're missing an opportunity here.
Yeah. See, well, I so often
In speaking or in acting and so on, they call this a pregnant pause.
Is that what it is?
Pregnant pause is when we
very pregnant.
No, you're ruining it. Pregnant pause is when we.
It's a very pregnant.
You're
pause.
Right.
I don't want the pauses here.
Okay, he's not pregnant and he doesn't want to pause.
No
okay,
pause.
Fine. Yes, fun morning. Depending on where you are, my drive in from Penns Valley at one point, okay, this is nice. And then I drove into a snow squall, like, okay, this is not as nice. I swear it was a sleet squall because the stuff is hitting my windshield very loudly. I'm thinking, okay, drive a little further, fine. At my house, the ground white, grass is white. I drive a little further, green and brown. So, again, it's kind of spotty, a little bit here, a little bit there. Worse, if you think in Center County, worse to our west and especially to our northwest. This is lake effect. My friends in Elk County, now, if they're listening, they're streaming, okay? Last I checked, the schools up there on a two-hour delay. Might not surprise me if they actually close today because they have a lake effect, I guess, warning until, I believe, this afternoon. So if somehow you're in a vehicle and you're going to take, like, Interstate 80 West, at least this morning, all right, watch out. Actually, it doesn't matter where you are today this morning. Watch out, okay? I passed a couple of road crews. They're out doing their jobs and so on. This morning is going to be interesting, all right? So let's be careful with your driving, not go too crazy. All right, let's see. What do we have today? Well, let's start with this. Next week is Thanksgiving. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, hey, hey.
Just kind of sneaking right up on us.
Now right? We're getting somewhere.
All right, now, for whatever reasons are, there's a growing number of folks, they need food assistance, okay, like food banks and stuff like that. And Thanksgiving, of course, big food week, you know, Thanksgiving meal, all that sort of stuff. Well, once again, Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, we're going to be helping out as best we can. So please mark this down, all right? This will be this Friday, the 21st. We will be at the Benner Pike Giant Grocery Market right outside Belfont, right off of I-99. We will be there from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. gathering food. And if you can bring something, obviously non-perishable foods and so on, that would be amazing. Or that would be phenomenal. The food drive will benefit the Faith Center of Belfont. And then they benefit a lot of people in that particular region. Our own A.J. Roberts. Haven't heard from A.J. in a while.
He's back.
He's back, apparently. He will be there the whole stretch. Again, this is 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Friday. So you got plenty of time to just kind of swing in there and make your drop-off. Also, you can register for an opportunity to take part in what we're calling the Week of Giving promotion. This is with our friends, some of our sponsors, Jordan Firearms of Loganton, the Giant Food Store there outside Belfont, 64 Beer Store in Lamar, Fisher's Market in Milesburg, and also our friends from PAMP Printing and More Printing, Pleasant Gap, and the Pennsylvania Lottery. So, hey, you might have a chance to kind of get something out of this deal.
Hey, now.
Okay, so there you go. So, again, please mark this down. Friday, stop by with your non-perishable food items. If you want to make a monetary donation, okay, we will be collecting that as well. This is Friday from 8 a.m. early to 5 p.m. at the Giant Store outside Belfont there, and you have a chance to win some great prizes, all right, during our Week of Giving. So if you can help out a neighbor, that would be stupendous. So Friday, mark it down. We'll be mentioning this now more during the week. How about some TV entertainment-type movie news? Hope you enjoyed the Center Film Festival. Near as I can tell, they had a great week. It all wrapped up yesterday. These movies, shorts, longs, different places, speakers and so on, really cool stuff. If our friend Pearl Gluck is listening, my guess is Pearl is sleeping.
I would hope that is the case.
Yeah, she has had one heck of a busy week. I went to one of the movies, and there she was. She was right down on, you know, down on the floor there. I'm like, okay. Pearl and her group, by the way, it's way more than Pearl, so there's a very active group, I think did a phenomenal job. So kudos. We'll ring the bell again for them. Kudos. We'll see what they do with next year's film festival. It's like, okay, how do you top this? How do you top this? We'll see what they can put together. So if you enjoyed one or some of the movies, that's pretty cool stuff. So congrats to that particular group. Also, we'll call this a free plug of sorts because Scott here, I'm a history guy. The Ken Burns new documentary on the American Revolution debuted last night on public television. It's going to run for, I guess, like several nights. If you're into history, again, next year, big year, 250, there's the magic number. So the timing of this documentary, I'd say, is perfect. And on public TV, so if you want to check that out this week, some really good stuff. Saw something that was pretty amazing last week. Now, I saw this on social media. Again, AI is either scary or amazing. Take your pick. Maybe it's both. All right. And apparently somebody has invented a computer program or an app or something that it uses, I guess, AI to, you can literally replace somebody in a movie. And the example that I saw, there's a movie a couple of years ago called 1917. This is a war movie, World War I. If you never saw the movie, it was an award-winning movie. And it was interesting because I don't know if it was the whole movie or a serious chunk of the movie was done essentially with one camera shot. In other words, it didn't cut away and edit, you know. It was like one long camera shot, which apparently has never been tried before. And I remember seeing this movie. I'm like, okay, they're going to cut away? Nope, it was one long camera shot. Now, it moved, okay, like the characters were moving, but it never edited and then jumped to another scene. It was one long shot, which is amazing. But there's this one episode, there's this one part of the movie where, again, they're in the trenches. This is World War I, and one of the top characters comes up out of the trench, and as an attack is about to start, this guy starts running down the length of the trench, and there's explosions and things going on and all this sort of stuff. This new program took out this guy, I don't know who the actor was, took out the guy, and replaced him with Brad Pitt.
Oh, boy.
They put Brad Pitt. Now, Brad Pitt was not like in a World War One uniform. He was like in a suit, like regular clothes. And they took out the guy and they put in Brad Pitt. And Brad Pitt does all the motions of the character. In other words, he's kind of scrunched down. Then he looks up. Then he gets up and he jumps up and he starts running down the line and so on. And it's Brad Pitt in the middle of the 1917 movie. And you have to look really, really close to determine that, okay, Brad Pitt was not originally in this movie. I had to look really, really close. The character at one point is sprinting down the line. And you can kind of tell as the character is sprinting, okay, there's kind of an aura of sorts around him. Okay, I can tell that he's not really there. But imagine that. I mean, it looked exactly like Brad Pitt being in this movie wearing a regular 2025 suit, you know, today's suit. It's just like, holy moly. I'm telling you, Mr. Ironhead, your big thing, you want to just write a script and make a movie. Poof. It's coming.
Well, I don't want to do it. It's been done.
Talk about a full length movie.
Correct. It's already being done to individuals.
Wow.
To their specified tastes. Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
I can't stream, so I guess I'm getting hit and miss, but I'm getting most of it.
Well, we'll take it, I guess.
Go ahead.
I'm waving the white flag in here.
I have a suggestion for AI now that we're into this replacement stuff. How about anything that Roseanne Barr ever did on film be replaced by Bo Derek?
Hey now! I'm ringing the bell on that one.
Oh, okay. That would be quite a change.
Yep.
She may not be the most beautiful woman ever, but she's got to be close.
Actually, you're talking about Bo Derek?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about Roseanne Barr.
Clearly.
I was looking at her heart, much like I'd be looking at Bo Derek's heart.
There you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, Jeff, you did okay with the wrestling. I just have a suggestion. As a former athlete, I pick up on a few subtleties. And you're probably pretty close to Kale. Maybe just kind of get the word to him. If we could get Messenbrink in a little better condition, we'd have something.
They're working on it. I can tell you they've been working on it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I know that I'm really fearful that if he was out there for, say, like 29 days without anything to eat or drink, he might start getting gassed.
Possible. It is possible, yes.
I'll tell you what, he's got to be one of the best conditioned athletes of any sport in the world. I mean, that guy never looks like he struggles.
He does not. Nope.
And is going about as full speed as you can go. I was glad to see that Levi was okay, and that was pretty scary after the first few seconds. You know, I said to my friend I was watching it with, I said, you know, Haynes is one of those kind of guys, he seems like he may go along, and you're figuring, well, we're not scoring any points here. Next thing you know, it's 12-0.
Yes.
Well, I think we're good. I've heard if Kasich is redshirting, is that correct?
That is the plan, yep.
Ono as well?
Correct. Yep.
Now, what did I hear somebody say that he only has a year of eligibility, Ono?
As of right now, that is the case. They're trying to see if they can get another year added to his eligibility, but he has 1 year of eligibility and 2 years to use it as of now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, everybody looked pretty sharp. I'll tell you, I think we got something in heavyweight. If Marisola can, they say he's put on a fair amount of weight. He continues to gain weight. He's obviously got skills. In fact, both of them do, really.
No doubt.
So I hope you're correct that this just wasn't a flash in the pan and that we are going to climb into that top three or four.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed, okay. My friend.
It helps that they're already at one, but okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, that would be a help, of course. I think we're going to – I agree with you, Jeff, what you said during the off season, that there's a 50-50 chance they may be better this year than they were last year.
Yeah, if they can stay healthy, the top-end firepower and the amount of top-end firepower they have is actually absurd.
So. Yeah. Well, if we can get Kale some help, you know, get some better assistant coaches would be helpful too.
Well, there you go.
Well,
okay. You guys have a great week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. We'll have our sports segment coming up in a little bit. Yeah, we were going to talk a little wrestling. Yeah, why not? I was watching on Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
So. I've got a thought, but I'm going to hold that for the next segment.
All right.
There we go. All right, some other things here on a pregnant pause Monday morning. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, folks. That's the way it goes. Somebody hit the Mega Millions jackpot Friday night. Well, we know it wasn't anybody around here.
What?
We do know it was somebody in Georgia. And apparently it was just one winner. Now, if you haven't been following this jackpot, Mega Millions, $983 million. Now, that's if you do what they call the annuity, where they pay it out to you over, 30 years or something like that. If you take the lump sum, like give me the money right now, it's only $453 million.
Yeah.
Oh, tough break. Yeah. And then, of course, you got to take taxes out of that. And then hopefully whoever the big winner is can survive on the rest of it. I didn't buy a ticket last week. I was actually going to buy one. And I forgot about it, put it off. And then over the weekend, I'm like, oh, that's right. I wanted to buy a ticket. And I look it up. I'm like, oh, crap. Somebody won that. Well, okay. There we go. Let's see. One of our favorite lines, is it possible to go too far with something? An opinion here, they are doing this in Philadelphia. What are we talking? We're not talking about the Eagles, by the way. They did win last night with some help. We'll maybe talk about
that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Down in Philadelphia, if you go shopping, go to a convenience store, supermarket, whatever, plastic bags down there are already banned. All right, you cannot get plastic bags in stores in Philadelphia anymore. And now, according to a report out of Philadelphia, Philadelphians starting maybe in January will have to start paying 10 cents for paper bags. Oh, for goodness sakes. I thought paper's our friend. All right. Supermarkets, shops, corner stores, a single-use bag fee has passed the city council down in Philadelphia. Now, it says, according to the story, it's meant to limit paper bag use and reduce litter. All right. That's okay. That sounds great. All right. I get it, I suppose. The city council passed this recently. The mayor, Sherelle Parker, remember her? ELGSES. That was her, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. This became law even though Mayor Parker didn't sign it and didn't veto it. This is one of these quirky, political things where if you're a president, I guess, maybe, or if you're a mayor, maybe a governor, too, I don't know. If you just don't do anything with something that gets, with a law or a bill that gets to your desk, after a period of time, it becomes law anyway. So I guess this is the cute way for Mayor Parker to say, hey, I didn't do anything with that. Not my fault that you're going to get more charges in Philadelphia. According to the story, it says apparently she supports the bill's intent, which allegedly, again, is reducing litter. But she, the mayor, is worried it would burden mom-and-pop businesses, low-income residents, and Philadelphians of color. Okay, Mayor Parker, no offense. It would affect anybody's color. All right, enough of this color stuff. Anybody that does any kind of shopping in Philadelphia would be hit with this 10-cent paper bag fee. Now, I don't know, Mr. Ironhead, maybe you do this. I don't. When I go to a supermarket, which I plan to do probably later today, first off, we don't have a plastic bag ban here, even though some folks would like to do it. I hope they don't. I actually have a use for those bags in my house. But do you, bring, what is it, BYOB, bring your own bags? I don't know, do you do that, bring your own bags?
I do not.
You do not. All right, neither do I. Now, I've been in a store, and somebody's, they walk in with,
Now, I, too, have been in a store.
Two or three bags that they come walking into the store with, those big, bags with handles and all that sort of stuff. It's just, that's not my gig. And now we're going to put a 10-cent fee on paper bags? Okay. Let's see how this goes over in Philadelphia. Come on. Went too far with something? Maybe? Yeah? Maybe? I think so. And finally, all right, the Guinness Book of World Records must be very interesting. There's a gym teacher, a middle school gym teacher in Maine. He apparently is going into the Guinness Book of World Records. All right, what did he do? Middle school gym teacher. And you have to have this documented, and apparently it was. Apparently, this fellow, in the span of an hour, 1 hour, he's in the basketball gym. He decided to see how many three-pointers he could make in the span of an hour. All right? Mr. Ironhead, we'll play our favorite game, Quiz the Ironhead. You want to take a guess how many three-pointers this guy made in 1 hour?
I don't mean to brag, but back when I was in high school,
long time ago,
we were getting ready for an IM basketball game.
Intramural.
And while warming up, I actually hit 2 three-pointers in a row.
Whoa.
Ladies and gentlemen. I mean, again, I'm not trying to kind of a humble brag here.
Yeah.
We were, and it was on just my 37th and 38th attempt of hitting these 3-pointers. And I don't mind sharing with you, I actually hit 2 others. Separately,
wow.
Wide apart,
ooh.
Previous to that.
Amazing.
So I have some experience in this. I have once upon a time in my life hit 4 three-pointers within an hour myself.
Wow, 4.
Now this guy is probably professional, so he's probably doubled it. I'm going to go 8, 8 in an hour.
Well, this is a middle school gym teacher.
Okay. All right, so he's in the gym a lot.
Yes.
All right, 10.
Yes.
He probably hit 10 in an hour.
Keep going.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm not.
Is it possible to hit more than 10 in
an
hour?
I've got the story.
Unless you're Steph Curry, who can probably hit 12?
More. This guy, according to the story, hit 1,516 three-pointers in an hour.
Good Lord. Well, that's crazy.
How is this guy not in the NBA? All right, 1,516 three-pointers in 1 hour. So no offense, Mr. Ironhead, he outdid you.
Huh.
All right, you hit, what did you say, 8?
So he did. Well, no, I hit 4.
Okay, I'm sorry, 4.
Feeling pretty good about it, too.
That is darn near unbreakable. But he did it, and it's documented. It's holy mackerel, that's incredible.
Oh, mine was undocumented.
Oh, yes, I can imagine it was. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll get some documentation on sports. See, I figured you put the figure 4 leg lock on the basketball because that's a wrestling
thing. Try to do it.
Also, we have an open line program. Oh, plenty of things from a busy weekend. And again, our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Lots of weather talk on a perfectly weathery morning. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. Pregnant pauses notwithstanding. We will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel. But a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
A manic Monday edition of Let's Talk rolls on here as we welcome you to a brand new week, the week before Thanksgiving week, no less. Well, ladies and gentlemen, still waiting. I had asked the research crew here.
The research crew.
And
you're researching? Okay, he's doing it as we speak, ladies and gentlemen.
Looking through the papers. Okay, somebody, doggone it. Now, we had the staff, I left a specific memo to leave the exact time and parade route on top of my desk here, and nobody has done that.
No.
The land grant parade obviously is going to be held sometime today with the trophy in tow. But I apologize. Our staff has again let us down. I'll do some more research here and get the exact time and route for the land grant trophy parade.
See what I can find here.
But ladies and gentlemen, a celebratory mood here in the Valley of Happiness as the land grant trophy, that behemoth of a trophy, is back where it belongs, right here in Happy Valley. Penn State football picking up its first victory in over 2 months Saturday pulling away from Michigan State for the 28-10 win in East Lansing. That snapped a six-game losing streak and gave interim head coach Terry Smith his first victory. Catron Allen ran for 181 yards and two touchdowns to lead the offensive attack. Devontae Ross pulled in two touchdown receptions in the victory. Denai Dennis Sutton had a huge game with two sacks, a quarterback hurry, and, yep, his third blocked punt of the season. The Spartans scored on their first play from scrimmage. That was a 57-yard run from Elijah Tolliver. And after that, a field goal. That was it for the Spartans the rest of the way. Penn State now 4-6 on the season. Penn State will close out the home schedule with senior night activities against Nebraska on Saturday. If you have not heard, the game with the Cornhuskers is set for a frigid 7 p.m. kickoff on NBC Saturday.
Got some thoughts, but I'll hold them.
The Cornhuskers are 7-3 on the season and are coming off a bye week. Catron Allen, by the way, now third on the all-time career rushing chart at Penn State. He sits 49 yards shy of some fellow by the name of Saquon Barkley and 138 yards short of Evan Royster's school record of 3,932 yards. If Allen can run for 206 yards over the final 2 weeks, he will become the first Penn State player ever to go over 4,000 yards rushing in his career. That would be like an average of, not great with the math, but somewhere around 1,000 yards a season. Elsewhere in the Big Ten over the weekend, USC rallied from a 21-10 halftime deficit to beat Iowa 26-21. Michigan needed a field goal as time expired to edge Northwestern at Wrigley Field 24-22. Ohio State hammered UCLA 48-10, and Indiana pulled away in the second half for a 31-7 win over Wisconsin. Illinois down Maryland 24-6, and Washington crushed Purdue 49-13. Also on Friday night, Oregon defeated Minnesota 42-13. In some other games of note, Texas A&M spotted South Carolina a 30-3 halftime lead, and then the Aggies rallied for a 31-30 victory for the biggest comeback in school history.
Amazing.
Oklahoma got a fourth quarter field goal to knock off Alabama 23-21. Georgia scored three fourth quarter touchdowns to put away Texas 35-10. Navy held off South Florida 41-38. Arizona knocked off Cincinnati 30-24. Texas Tech breezing to a 48-9 victory over Central Florida. It was Ole Miss over Florida 34-24. Notre Dame cruising to a 37-15 victory over Pitt. Oh, Pitt.
Please tell me you weren't actually rooting for Pitt.
BYU rolled over TCU 44-13. It was Utah topping Baylor 55-28. Miami routed North Carolina State 41-7. And Georgia Tech had to rally late to beat Boston College 36-34. Virginia also doubled up on Duke. Took me a while to do the math there. 34-17. And Tennessee easily downing New Mexico State, 42-9. The Penn State hockey team came back to earn a split with second-ranked Michigan on the weekend. After Michigan dominated Friday night 7-1, the Nittany Lions bounced back with an impressive 4-2 win Saturday evening. Michigan jumped out to a 3-0 lead after the first period Friday night and never looked back. Chavion Ulm scored the only Penn State goal on a Charlie Serrato assist. Then on Saturday night, after a scoreless first period, Penn State scored a couple couple of goals in the second. Luke Misa and Nick Fascia scoring the Nittany Lions goals. And then Penn State made it 3-0 in the third period on a Reese Laubach goal. And Michigan scored the next couple of goals to cut it to 3-2 before Nick Chinda-Graves scored the empty netter to secure the victory and the series split for Penn State. The Nittany Lions are now 10-4 on the season, 3-3 in the Big Ten. Penn State will close out the fall semester schedule this weekend with games at Minnesota Friday and Saturday night, both at 8 p.m. The Penn State wrestling team had an impressive season debut at the Bryce Jordan Center Friday night, shutting out Oklahoma 45-0. Levi Haynes picked up the meet's only pin, while the Nittany Lions got technical falls from Marcus Blaze, Shane Van Ness, Joe Seeley, Mitchell Messenbrink, and Rocco Welsh. Connor Mirasola and Luke Lillendahl also posted major decisions, while Cole Mirasola and Aaron Nagao picked up decisions. The Nittany Lions racked up 35 takedowns in the duel and gave up just one. Penn State will compete in the Army Black Knight Invitational this Sunday. Also on Saturday, Penn State's Lucas Cochran won the heavyweight title at the Shorty Hitchcock Invitational in Millersville. He posted a 3-0 record with two major decisions in the tournament. Penn State's Hayden Cunningham also finished third at 141, and teammate Sam Beckett was sixth at 165, while Brock Weiss posted a 2-2 record at 149. Last night, Ohio State captured the National Duels Invitational title, beating Iowa 27-12 in the finals. The Buckeyes looked really good throughout the entire tournament. Ohio State winning 6 of the 10 bouts and racking up all 9 bonus points in the victory over the Hawkeyes. Oklahoma State routed Nebraska 33-6 for third place. Minnesota was 5th, Virginia Tech 6th, Illinois 7th, and Missouri 8th. Penn State wrestling alum Bo Nickel bounced back from his first loss of his UFC career with a third-round knockout of Rodolfo Vieira on Saturday night in Madison Square Garden. Nickel had Vieira hurt a few times before he knocked him out with a head kick at the 224 mark of the third round. Nickel is now 8-1 in his UFC career. The Nittany Lion basketball team is now 4-0 after an 83-69 win over LaSalle Saturday night, or Saturday afternoon in Philadelphia. Melly Tunja scored a game-high 20 points on 8 of 9 shooting from the floor. Freddie DeLeon, again, providing big points off the bench. He finished with 16. Caden Mingo added 14 points, 7 assists, and 4 rebounds for the Nittany Lions. Penn State will host Harvard Wednesday night. That'll be a 6:30 tip-off at the Bryce Jordan Center. It will be the Fight for Literacy game, so expect a big contest out of Josh Reed. See what I did there?
Josh Reed.
Yeah. Literacy night, fighting letters. Okay. Yeah, that's
good.
Josh Reed. That's be really my player to keep an eye on.
Nice.
See?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll be on the... Well, never. The State College football team ran over Wilkes-Barre in the opening round of the PIAA 6A playoffs Saturday night in Milton. 52-0, your final score. Deontay Sheffy ran for 149 yards and 4 touchdowns. Little Lions jumped out to a 28-0 lead before the second quarter started and never looked back. Hank Lustig had a touchdown catch and a punt return for a touchdown as well. The State High defense was stifling. Wilkes-Barre had 35 yards in total offense for the game.
Oh, my gosh.
The Little Lions are 10-2 and will face Pittsburgh Central Catholic They're from Pittsburgh. That'll be in the quarterfinals of the tournament. Central Catholic defeated North Allegheny Saturday night 42-7. Central Catholic is now 11-1 on the season, and they had their running game going as well. Vikings ran for 232 yards in the win over North Allegheny. The State High Central Catholic game will kick off at 7 o'clock Friday night at Altoona's Mansion Park. That should be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Belfont football falling to undefeated Shamokin Friday night, 42-13 in the first round of the PIAA Quad A playoffs. Red Raiders return to the state playoffs for the first time in 6 years. And they'll finish the campaign with a record of 6-7. Shamokin had two running backs go over 100 yards rushing in the game. They actually had two other players that were close to getting to 100 yards. Belfont's Ashton Howell tied the game in the first quarter at 7 on a 17-yard run, but then Shamokin scored the next 35 points to pull away for the victory. The Indians advanced to take on Southern Lehigh in the quarterfinals this weekend. The Penn State women's soccer team rolling to a 3-0 shutout victory over Army in the opening round of the NCAA tournament Saturday night at Jeffrey Field. Caitlin McBean scored the game winner for Penn State with 36 minutes and 1 second left in the first half. Amelia White and Ditke Bang also added goals for Penn State. White also picked up an assist in the victory. The Nittany Lions move on to face top-seeded Virginia Thursday in Charlottesville. The Penn State women's hockey team sweeping a pair of games from Syracuse. Penn State is undefeated through 14 games this season. After a 7-0 shutout victory on Friday, the Nittany Lions tied a program record with 11 goals in the 11-2 win over the Orange on Saturday. Caitlin Roberts scored just 24 seconds into Friday's game. Tessa Janicki added a goal and an assist, and Katie Deesa made 14 saves to post her national leading 6th shutout of the season. In Saturday's contest, 8 different players scored goals for Penn State. Caitlin Roberts led the way with 2 goals and 2 assists. Kendall Butts also had 3 assists. Tessa Janicki with 2 assists. Janicki becoming the first player in Penn State history to go over the 100 assist mark in her career. She now has 101. Penn State will head to Rochester, New York for games against RIT Friday night and Saturday afternoon this week. The Penn State women's volleyball team rallied from a 2-1 deficit to defeat Ohio State yesterday at Rec Hall. Kennedy Martin again led the way with 34 kills, 8 digs, and 4 blocks. Penn State prevailed 25-22, 15-25, 29-31, 25-14, and then 15-12 in the decisive 5th set. Addie Lyon had 61 assists and added 7 digs and 3 blocks. Once again, Kennedy Martin leading the way for Penn State in the loss to Minnesota in Minneapolis Friday night. 3-0. Minnesota won it, but really all 3 sets were very hotly contested. But Kennedy Martin had 26 kills in just the 3 sets in the last Friday night. 25-23, 25-23, and 25-22. Minnesota won that one. After the weekend split, Penn State now 15-12 in the season, 9-7 in Big Ten matches. The win over the Buckeyes was the 5th straight for Penn State in that series. The Nittany Lions will host Michigan State Friday night at 7 in Rec Hall. The Lady Lion basketball team held off St. Joseph's for an 89-77 road victory yesterday. Penn State shooting over 70% from three-point range.
Wow.
Penn State converted on 12 of 17 attempts from beyond the arc en route to the victory. Gracie Merkel led the way with 25 points and 11 rebounds. Freshman guard Tia Cleant was right behind her with 23 points and also had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. Kiyomi McMiller had 15 points and 10 rebounds. Lady Lions, 4-0 on the young season. Penn State will be back in action on Saturday afternoon in the Bahamas against Princeton. We may need to go. I mean, we should probably go
cover that. Yes,
that game. They go to the Bahamas.
Dang.
Joe Putnam gets to go to the Bahamas.
Oh man,
I am going to West Point, New York this weekend.
A little
now you tell
there.
Me who has the better winter schedule. I mean, I'm just saying. Penn State couldn't do the Bahamas invitation.
Who could Penn State wrestle in the Bahamas?
Anybody
they want.
Yes, let's make that happen. Penn State women's cross country team earning an at-large bid to the NCAA championships after a third place finish at the Mid-Atlantic Regional Meet on Friday. Senior Florence Karen again leading Penn State with a fourth place finish individually. Ada Rand was ninth, Claire Daniels 14th, and Lee Hatcher 23rd for the Nittany Lions. On the men's side, Nick Slough will represent Penn State at the NCAA championships after he took sixth at the Mid-Atlantic Regional. The men finished in fourth place in the championships. Brian DeCola was 13th overall for the Nittany Lions, with Brendan Flynn 16th and Jason Schodel 21st. The beloved Pittsburgh Steelers even their season series with Cincinnati, whipping the Bengals 34-12 yesterday. Aaron Rodgers left the game in the second half with a wrist injury, now believed to be a broken wrist. We'll get an update on that and his status moving forward, expected today. He'll be reevaluated this morning. The Steelers also lost running back Jalen Warren to an injury during the game, and they lost quarterback Jalen Ramsey after he threw a punch at Ja'Marr Chase. Chase says he didn't spit on him, and yet there's a video that shows him spitting
on
him. Ja'Marr, we need you to be truthful. Come on, buddy.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh got 2 touchdowns on 2 turnovers, with Kyle Duggar scoring on a pick six and James Pierre on a scoop and score. Kenneth Gainwell scored a couple of touchdowns as well. Boy, it'd be nice to have him on your fantasy team. Oh, I do.
Very nice.
He was the only one that did anything for my fantasy team, which got crushed this weekend. But Gainwell was the bright spot. Steelers go on and get a critical victory and improve to 6-4 on the season. The Steelers have another big game coming up this Sunday at 1 as Pittsburgh will visit the Chicago Bears. And we'll see.
That'll be interesting.
Looks like Mason Rudolph likely to get the start at least this week. LeVar Arrington and company were talking about the what you can do there with the wrist. It's on the non-throwing hand, the left wrist of Rodgers, and we'll see. I very much doubt that he'll be available this week, but I'll be curious to see what they say and how quickly he might be able to get back. They have, after the game in Chicago, which is obviously no easy feat in and of itself, but then you get the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens in the next couple of games. This is a critical stretch here, this 3-game stretch coming up for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Speaking of the Ravens, before we get to that, let's, Philadelphia Eagles last night, maybe a little help from the officials, in holding off the Detroit Lions 16-9. Pass interference is just a funny thing these days in the NFL. Eagles defense did come up big though, stopping Detroit on all 5 of its 4th down attempts. Lions went for it on fourth down 5 times, 0 for 5. Never did convert. The Eagles improved to 8-2 on the season, while the Lions fall to 6-4. Philadelphia is running away with the NFC East. The closest team in that division is the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are 3-5-1 going into tonight's contest at the Las Vegas Raiders. And you can listen for that game right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. All right, the Ravens did stay just a game behind the Steelers with a 23-16 win over the Browns. Oh, Cleveland. I mean, I'm watching the game. I'm actually rooting for you, Cleveland. Quarterback Dillon Gabriel left with a concussion early in the third, and Shedeur Sanders gets his big chance.
Here we go.
He finishes the game, and he completes his first two passes. You're like, oh, man, maybe they found a little something. They did not find a little something. He completed just 2 of his next 14 passes and finished with 47 yards passing, no touchdowns, and 1 interception. With the win, the Ravens remain 1 game behind Pittsburgh again in the AFC North. Josh Allen had 3 passing touchdowns and 3 rushing touchdowns, leading the Bills to a 44-32 win over Tampa Bay. Only 3 times in NFL history has a player had 3 touchdowns passing and 3 touchdowns running. Otto Graham did it once, and Josh Allen has now done it twice.
Amazing.
That is it. That's in the entire history of the National Football League. That's pretty good, Josh. Broncos upended the Chiefs 22-19. Is it just me, or do the Chiefs not look like the prohibitive Super Bowl favorites this year?
No.
Denver is now 9-2 and 4 games clear of Kansas City, while the Chiefs fall to 5-5 on the season. The Rams edge the Seahawks in a big game, 21-19. Also, the Packers getting past the Giants, 27-20. The 49ers routed the Cardinals, 41-22. How about them Dolphins? They slip past the Commanders in overtime in Spain, 16-13. 2 in a row. The Texans totally topped the Titans in a tight tussle in Tennessee, 16-13. See what I did there?
See?
Little alliteration. Yeah. It was the Panthers over the Falcons, 30-27. And the Bears edged the Vikings, 19-17, while the Jaguars jolted the Chargers, 35-6.
Woo. How did that happen?
Where were those Chargers when the Steelers played them?
Yeah, right.
The Penguins blanked the Predators 4-0 yesterday morning to earn a split in the 2-game series in Sweden. Nashville, doggone it, won in overtime Friday afternoon 2-1. Steven Stamkos scored the game winner in that one for Nashville just 44 seconds into the extra period. Evgeny Malkin scored the only goal in that one for the Penguins. And then in yesterday's win, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin scored a little over 2 minutes apart in the opening period. Sergei Mereshov made 21 saves and picked up his first NHL victory in just his second start for the Penguins. Pittsburgh now 10-5-4 on the season, third place in the Metropolitan Division. The Flyers picked up a 6-5 shootout victory over the Blues Friday night before losing 5-1 at Red Hot Dallas Saturday night. Christian Dvorak scored the Philadelphia goal in Saturday's loss. In Friday's win, Dvorak and Trevor Zegras each had 2 goals, and Owen Tippett added a goal and 3 assists. The Flyers are now 9-6-3 on the season and sit in 6th place in the Metropolitan Division. 76ers losing to the Pistons Friday night, 114-105. Tyrese Maxey led Philadelphia with 31 points. The 76ers will host the Clippers in a 7 o'clock tip-off tonight. Sixers are 7-5 on the season. And after our little program this morning, we'll have the Dan Patrick Show from 10 to noon, then Joe Lednoski and the Pennsylvania Sports Network rules your way from noon to 2. Chris Buccanani will hit the airwaves from 2 to 3. Jim Galani and the Keystone Kickoff Show runs from 3 to 4. Well, Fox Sports from 4 to 6. Then the Players Show with Keith Goon Conlon from 6 to 7. Tonight, wrestler Levi Haynes will be on the show from the Penn State golf courses. And then at 7:30, it's Monday Night Football with the despised, god-awful Dallas Cowboys visiting the Las Vegas Raiders.
Who are also terrible.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's a no good game is what we have.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are so excited.
Although it could be a competitive game. But.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break. Holy mackerel, that was a lot of sports.
Yeah, and I didn't even get to a couple of the more bizarre sports stories.
Well,
over the
maybe
weekend.
When we come back. We have open line time here for a Monday because I've got several sportsy thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you have some. So we'll open up the phone lines. Hold on, though. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. It's a pregnant pause Monday. If you have no idea what that means, that means you're not listening close enough. We will come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News and World Report 2025 ranked Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now, that's a great accolade. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, will be joining us in the final segment of this morning's big show. You can join us anytime between now and then by giving us a ring at 814-954-7266.
Oh, boy, where do we start here? I've got some newsy stuff, but I have more sportsy stuff, actually. What were the couple of things you mentioned? You had some freaky sports things you said you wanted to tell.
Well, did you see the Duke-West Virginia game?
No.
Basketball I think it was Friday night. Let me just get the story up here. So, West Virginia, Duke, obviously, perennial power. West Virginia playing them tough. Duke is leading toward the end of the first half, and a couple of players get tangled up, and they start shoving each other, and here come the West Virginia players off of the bench, and it quickly escalates, and the officials eject the players that were on the field that started it, and then ejected the entire West Virginia bench. And West Virginia has five players.
Five guys left. Yeah.
That are now trying to play out this game. And West Virginia, with only the five players available for the second half, pulls out the victory.
Amazing.
Defeating Duke. Inspired play, for sure, by the remaining players for West Virginia. Just remarkable stuff.
Interesting. Yeah.
Circumstances sometimes dictate what makes something special, what can make something stand out. And those circumstances makes that win over Duke. Anytime you're beating Duke, it's going to be, regardless of the season Duke's having, it's just like if you beat Penn State football, it's like, yeah, that's a nice feeling for the opponent to have. And so, congratulations to West Virginia. The Ja'Marr Chase thing is just bizarre because, I don't know if he doesn't understand that there's video. You're going to see it. Like, there are cameras all over the football field, and you have to know somebody somewhere is going to be able to go back and look at this. And he's like, oh, no, I would never. I didn't spend. Well, you did. Now, what cracks me up about this is I've seen a couple of stories. Let me see. The one here, I think I saved it because it just, I think it was CBS Sports. Yes, CBS Sports. And I love the CBS Sports website, one of the ones I check regularly. But this is the headline. Jalen Ramsey ejected for punch after Ja'Marr Chase appears to spit on him. Well, the reason it appears is because he spit on him.
He did it, yeah.
Like, I mean, there is video. This isn't AI generated. This isn't like this. I mean, I don't think there's any dispute about the video evidence. And it's not that it appeared. It's that he did. Like, you don't have to say appears if you actually witness and see the event occur. But
I saw the clip.
This is the world we're living in, where it appears. Well, it appears that way because
now should Jalen Ramsey have thrown a punch? No,
absolutely not.
All right, he let his emotions get away from him. Now I don't know. The NFL can take a look at this to say, well,
yes. I think Chase will end up getting suspended. But
okay,
for probably
you get
a
suspended.
Game.
Okay, now if you're thrown out of the game,
in the, I should know this, and I don't. If you're thrown out of the game in the NFL, are you suspended for like?
No, that's a college.
That's it. Okay.
That's a college.
Or also, like professional soccer, if you get what's called a red card, which means you're ejected from the game, that means you don't play in like the next couple of games. All right. That's a professional soccer thing. But Chase could get suspended for spitting. That's suspension worthy.
Oh, yes.
That's very interesting. All right. Yeah. I saw the clip this morning. I'm like, that sure looks like something coming out of Chase's mouth. Mm-hmm. Woo! What is that right there? Mm-hmm. Boing. So let's see what the, and I would assume they would do it today. Let's see what the NFL does today when it comes to that one. I thought Mason Rudolph looked pretty good yesterday. I mean, he comes into the game. If you're a Steelers fan, we're all thinking the same thing. Uh-oh.
Looked better than Shador Sanders, that's for sure. Good Lord.
I thought Rudolph looked really sharp.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked good.
Yeah.
And so I'm not so worried if Aaron Rodgers has something up with his left wrist.
For a couple of games,
they should be okay.
They can get by. All right. More than a couple of games, we're going to have some.
If the offensive line can give Mason enough time to do some stuff, which is what happened yesterday, and he was making plays.
Yeah.
Thinking, all right, great. That's wonderful. Again, the penalties, oh, for goodness sakes. I mean, yesterday, I'm at home, I'm watching the game. Here's T.J. Watt roughing the passer. And again, the idea, TJ gets to the quarterback as he's releasing the ball, you know, he's making a tackle, and then gravity takes over. All right, referees, there's nothing TJ Watt can do about gravity. All right, he's going to the ground wrapped around the quarterback because that's where he is. And if he had held, well, heck, anymore, if the quarterback had held on to the ball, he probably still would have still been called for roughing the passer. Ah. And then there was a penalty yesterday, roughing the snapper?
Yeah.
What the heck is roughing? I've never heard of this call. What the heck is roughing the snapper? The announcers are like, what? The one guy originally thought it was roughing the holder or something. Like, no, it's roughing the snapper.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck is rough? I've never heard of this call, roughing the snapper. And yeah, that Eagles game last night. Oh, come on. First off, the ball's uncatchable.
Yes, I think that's probably
the ball's uncatchable.
True, but also,
and
I
then
mean,
there's
come
you know
on.
There's some hand fighting going on
very
between
little.
The two players.
Like, very little.
Oh, it's like, and I guess Chris Collinsworth goes off. He's the commentator. He's like, oh, come on, this is ridiculous.
That one really was ridiculous.
That's utterly nuts.
Speaking of ridiculous, the other story that got a lot of attention over the weekend in the sports world. That Texas A&M South Carolina game was just wild.
I watched that game.
So South Carolina again builds this 30-3 lead. Just Texas A&M looks just completely lost. They are struggling in every sense of the word. They can't get out of their own way. South Carolina just seems like the ball is bouncing its way on everything. And it's like, man, this is just ugly. And South Carolina has not had a good season. Very Penn State-esque, but without the expectations that Penn State had going into the year. But South Carolina builds this 30-3 lead over the the Aggies. And then Texas A&M comes back and just an amazing flip of the script in the second half, and suddenly South Carolina can't get out of its own way, just one thing after the other, and then Texas A&M going in for another score that would make it 38-30, and they fumble. It's like, oh man, well, maybe South Carolina does have a chance. No, they don't have a chance, because again, they just can't get anything generated. But the other thing that got a ton of attention in this one was a little incident in the tunnel during the game as the teams are coming out. South Carolina is coming out of the tunnel for the second half, and there's a state trooper that's walking the other way, and it looks like he intentionally, not sure whether or not it was completely intentional, but it does look like he leans a little bit in and bangs into the shoulder of the South Carolina player. The South Carolina player is completely unaware. I mean, he's focused on just walking out onto the field. Well, this trooper turns around and, like, points at him and starts yelling. He's relieved of his duties at the game. They're like, yeah, you can go home for today. And now the Office of Inspector General is looking in to the matter. And I don't know if we're going to get an update on this or if this is going to be handled internally, but, man, people are all over the place on, well, this is what needs to happen. This can't happen. This, again, in the overall scheme of things, they bumped each other. Trooper does turn around and yell. And everybody goes on with their day. Nobody gets hurt. Nobody... Again, he gets relieved of his duty for the day and goes home. I don't know. I'm guessing we're going to have to get some kind of an update because the media surrounding this game and these programs are not going to be satisfied with just, yep, we'll never know whatever happened in terms of any other discipline to that particular trooper.
Now, I was watching that game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an amazing game. The old tale of two halves.
Yeah.
I mean, at halftime, I'm thinking, what on earth is A&M doing? We got Joe later on, right?
Yes.
All right.
9:40.
Joe Bastardi, weatherball.com, big Aggies guy, big Penn State guy, big Aggies guy. So we got to ask him, all right, what he thought about that. But all of this gets covered on TV. I'm watching the game, and I'm watching these guys, and here's the trooper, and he's doing his pointing, and I'm thinking, buddy, what are you doing? What the heck was that? And then later on, okay, this guy got relieved. He's sent home. Yeah. I mean, there's got to be some kind of punishment, all right? It's not your job to be confronting football players.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be doing
weird
stadium security, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
So that guy's going to get hit. I hope he doesn't get fired. He lost his cool. You know, come on. We've all done that. Jamar Chase did that. He will get his comeuppance today. Watch. All right. Jalen Ramsey did that. Well, Jalen, you're not supposed to throw punches, buddy.
I mean, best case scenario was that he was just, like, not paying attention. That's best case scenario for the trooper. And it's like, come on. Yeah, like, giving him every benefit of the doubt. So you got to pay attention. You have players walking the other way. But if when you watch it,
it looks pretty, like, intentional.
And then to turn around and say something to the player is
stupid.
Really dumb.
Just stupid. All right, let's take a break right here. Again, we have open line time here for a still snowy Monday. Let's talk about Penn State football a little bit, maybe, when we come back. If we have some time, yes, we got some newsy stuff, so stay tuned. And your calls, of course. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook. Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox City Knowledge. It's a Monday morning edition of Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. If you want to weigh in on anything from over the weekend, not often this season that we've had the combination of a State College football victory, Penn State football victory, and Steelers football victory all in the same weekend. We'll take it.
This year.
Yeah, you gotta will take it.
You got to go back to the first half of September for that sometimes.
Yeah. No, it was a fun football weekend, at least for yours truly. The other horrible sports news from over the weekend. New York Jets defensive back Chris Boyd shot over the weekend in critical but stable condition after the reports are, and again, these are sources reporting to various news outlets, that somebody tried to steal a chain, a necklace from Chris Boyd as he was leaving a club, and there was a little bit of a dispute, and then that person reportedly got into a vehicle and then fired off at Boyd, is at least the story that is being reported by some TV stations in New York. Again, we'll see. There is a manhunt underway. They are looking for the individual that they believe is responsible for this shooting. And, again, just 29 years old, Chris Boyd, who was a Texas football player in college, and this season had 105 tackles, couple of forced fumbles and three fumble recoveries. So good player there for the Jets, and certainly prayers go out for him and his family for a full recovery, and hopefully they do get justice for the individual that is responsible for that.
Note to the White House, please do not send the National Guard to New York City because of this incident. All right, just hey, I've seen things like that. It's like, whoa, look what happened. Boom. No. Just leave it alone. All right? Leave it alone.
One other weird sports note.
You have a lot of those.
Yeah, it was just a weekend of it. And I'm sorry, this one just, I can't help but chuckle. I just am chuckling. Pitt
They're like a rival of Penn State.
Please tell me you weren't rooting for them against Notre Dame.
They have a pretty broad-based athletic program. Not as broad-based as Penn State, but pretty broad-based. And they have a women's basketball team at Pitt.
This one, yeah. Okay.
That women's basketball team played Scranton. Now, you may be saying to yourself, Scranton?
The University of Scranton.
That's interesting. I didn't know they had a Division I women's basketball program. They don't. So Pitt was just, they're dropping down and playing like a Division II team? Nope, not what happened. Scranton is Division III. Now, if you're not clear on what Division III means, that means no scholarships. These are kids that, I mean, there's some very good kids, obviously, that play Division III athletics, really good athletes. But they're not receiving scholarships, so that they're this is truly like extracurricular activities for them while they're in school. Pitt, just so we're clear, does have all of their athletes on scholarship. Yeah. They're getting the free ride, all of that. So in theory, pretty elite athletes. Scranton beat Pitt, a Division III team.
Oh, ouch.
In Pitt, at Pittsburgh, 69-63 yesterday. That is...
Ouch.
Not good. Think Michigan Appalachian State football, but then worse. Think even more. Yeah. This is not on the same stage, I understand, but think U.S. hockey in the 1980s in Russia. This is crazy. A Division III program beating a Division I program in any sport is a little ridiculous.
Embarrassing.
Well, yes.
Is the word. That way, Penn State Lady Lions off to a good start.
So just to be clear, we're not laughing with you, Pitt. We're laughing at you.
At you, yeah.
Just want to make sure we're clear on that.
Penn State Lady Lions off to a good start. All right, 4-0, they're undefeated. That would be like them playing, say, like Juniata and losing. That would be incredibly embarrassing. So
not good.
Pitt got hammered by Notre Dame. All right, that didn't go well. And then this happens.
Not a good weekend for Pitt.
Now, a good weekend for Penn State. I mean, they had a
pretty good weekend.
A great weekend for them. Although, Mr. Ironhead, maybe I really am getting old.
Oh, boy.
There used to be sort of an unwritten rule about night games at Beaver Stadium in November. Now, you're nodding your head.
Oh, that was before TV got involved.
I mean, when I saw the announcement, I'm like, are you kidding?
Oh, no.
They're playing a night game.
No joke.
Saturday night.
That's right.
I'm thinking, okay, and it's NBC. It's going to be a national broadcast.
That is correct.
Of a 4-6 team. Now, Nebraska, I mean, they're having a good season. They're 7-3. I don't know. Is it the Matt Rhule comes home story? I mean, they're going to be playing
That's part of it, for sure.
They're going to be playing that angle.
That is part of it, for sure.
But I just, that's an interesting, I'm just looking at these other games for the Big Ten that are being played this weekend. I'm thinking, that one? Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, these last couple of games are, for Nebraska, are going to be determinant as to the fan base's feeling about this season. And these are both games that I think you could see going either way. Nebraska will visit Beaver Stadium again Saturday night, 7:00 kickoff, and then Nebraska will be home against Iowa, rivalry game in the last contest of the season. And that'll be a noon kickoff on the Friday after Thanksgiving. So that is, they win both those games. I think Nebraska fans are feeling really good about the program, the progress it's making, the future, all of that. You lose both of these games, and it's like, I'm not sure we're really getting anywhere as a program. And you split, and I think it's, okay. Especially if they beat Penn State and lose to Iowa, the way these seasons have played out, I think if you're a number, okay, 8-4, whatever. 9-3 feels pretty good. 7-5 feels pretty lousy. For Penn State, chance to try to get bowl eligible here. Man, I'm running into more and more people. It is more of a debate than I thought it would be as to whether Penn State, if it gets a bid, should accept said bid to a bowl game this season. To me, it seems like obviously no, but listening to Terry Smith talk, listening to a couple of the players talk, maybe they are going to accept it and play this thing out. Again, to have that opportunity, they have to take care of business here against Nebraska Saturday night, and then also in the season finale the following week, ugh, at, of all places, Rutgers. Yuck.
I'm looking at a line right now. Penn State, Nebraska. I'm surprised. 9.5 points for Penn State. I'm thinking, wow. Back from the dead, I guess. Holy smokes. Now, if you watch the game Saturday, I mean it was great. First off, in the second half, I'm starting to feel bad for the Michigan State quarterback. That guy took a beating. He just took a beating.
I know they were saying there's no other. There has to be another. I mean, you had to have an emergency plan, whether it's a wide receiver or running back. Go to that emergency plan for that last drive. Like, that was... Okay. That one I don't understand. Like, yeah. Your quarterback is obviously hurt to the point that I'm not sure he was really able to protect himself. Like, get him out of there. You're not winning the game. And then to keep putting him back and passing. Like, what are you doing? That was, ugh.
That was ugly.
Yeah, that was just ugly. I mean, really dumb to me. Just watching at home, it's like, man, if I was a Michigan State fan, I'd be truly angry at my coaches and at John Smith. Like, get your quarterback off the field. Come on, man.
Yeah, that was nasty.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Deny Dennis Sutton.
Oh man, that was a game.
That if he's this is it for him, obviously. And he's looking to the NFL draft, and he's been very quiet during this losing streak. And, man, he came out with a vengeance on Saturday. I'm like, good. All right, good. I mean, holy smacks, was he good. It was great to see Terry Smith get the Gatorade bath. I mean, that
was...
Yes,
indeed.
That's not something you normally do mid-season, but it was great. Now, here's a thought. All right, if Penn State can win these last two games, Nebraska-Rutgers, 6-6, three-game winning streak, who's the next coach going to be? You know, all the, again, on social media especially, I'm seeing all these quote experts, here's our hot list, here's this list, yeah, 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 all this sort of thing. If Penn State could actually win out over the next 2 weeks, would Terry Smith be considered for the full-time job? I think before Saturday, the answer was no. And it's not saying anything badly about Coach Smith. It's like, okay, we're looking at all these outside guys. There's this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. Terry Smith was hardly ever mentioned. Now, all of a sudden, I think there's some thought with some fans, maybe if they can beat Nebraska here, if they go to Rutgers and win, if they get a bowl berth, is that enough for Terry Smith to maybe get the job? Mr. Ironhead, I am throwing this at you. Yes, no, maybe.
I don't think so. I think they need somebody that, and I want Terry Smith to be part of the staff. And if he really wants it, I mean, it's worth the conversation. I'm not sure, like, this is a burning desire for him to be a head coach and deal with all of the stuff. Cleaning that up for radio. Stop. That comes with being a head coach in this day and age of college football. Now, if he I want this. I want it badly. And, you know, he talks to Pat Kraft. I mean, I'm not going to say flat out, no way. I just, they, for that to happen, Pat Kraft has to have a really good feeling that, yep, Terry Smith within the next couple of years can have this program knocking on the door. Now, mind you, the one of the biggest reasons I'm seeing Terry Smith being advocated for as head coach is the recruiting end of this. Terry Smith, and I'm not blaming this on Terry Smith, obviously, but, I mean, they've lost this recruiting class. Well, Terry Smith is the one. I'm not sure that this is how you go about rebuilding quickly to get this program back into national title contention. And that is clearly, again, 10-win seasons, nope, that's not going to cut it. Close losses, razor-close losses to Ohio State, nope. Penn State has let it be known that is not acceptable. And I'm just telling you, Terry Smith, Brent Key, whoever it is, Drinkwitz, whoever you bring in, that is a really tall order. No, you better be beating Ohio State, what, at least half of the time that you play the Buckeyes? You need to be beating everybody else in the conference, Oregon and Michigan included, more than half of the time that you're playing them. You need to be in the playoffs, what, at least four out of every 5 years? You need to be getting to the Final Four at least two or three times every 5 years. Okay. I mean, it sounds great. Now, sign me up for that. That'd be great. Winning national titles at least, once or twice a decade. Cool. Yeah, let's do that. And, again, you want to tell me the coach Ironhead, they hire this guy. That happens. I'm not saying it can't happen. Again, I want it to happen. Could it happen? Sure. But you look around, Ohio State isn't going anywhere. They've got things rolling with Ryan Day right now. Oregon's not going anywhere. Dan Lanning has it rolling with Oregon right now. Michigan, we'll see what happens here down the stretch. But, I mean, that is a program that is going to do whatever it needs to do in terms of investments to, all right, we need to be contending for national titles. You go to the SEC, all of the schools there, depending on who you believe, 4 to 8 schools that ought to be competing on a regular basis. And then you go through the list of other programs out there that have that type of aspiration from the Big 12 and Notre Dame and the ACC. And I'm all for it. Maybe and I'm not even saying it's not worth a roll of the dice. But understand it is that. At the end of the day, the odds are still against whoever it is you hire as being. And again, what Penn State is saying is, no, we need to be the standard bearer in the Big Ten. Again, sounds great. Sign me up for that. And let me know which of these potential coaching hires it is that you think guarantees that outcome. Because I'm not seeing it as anything close to a guarantee.
I need to check the – hold on. We got to take a break in a moment here. One interesting factor to keep in mind, and this just hit me. I'm like, really? I had to look it up. Ohio State and Indiana go off the schedule next year.
Yes, the schedule does two years. Correct. The schedule does become very favorable here these next couple of years. Now, what you do with that favorable schedule, because again, you're kind of starting over here. And even if it's Terry Smith, Terry may very well be able to recruit at a very high level, but they have lost the guys that he was directly involved with here from what was projected to be this class for next season. And many of those guys, now I get in the world of college football we're in now, well, yeah, the guy is committed elsewhere, so what? I get it. And maybe Terry Smith was named, and now all of these guys flip back. Possible. anything is possible in this day and age of college football, of college athletics. But, again, long way to go, no matter who it is, to get Penn State back to where the administration and the fans are saying they demand it to be, which, again, is 10-2 and close losses to Ohio State. Nope, not cutting it.
In the mid-1960s, Joe Paterno was named the head coach, promoted from within. A lot of fans were not wound up over this. And it took,
very true.
It took a season and a half of struggling, and some fans were not very happy about this, and then, boom. It's interesting when you just do the little comparisons there.
Yep.
All right, we got to take a break here. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Later on, and actually just a little bit, we're going to talk weather with Joe Bastardi on a weathery morning. We'll come right back.
Or we may just stay here.
Or we may stay here.
Would be the other potential
option. What happened
here.
There? All right, let's keep going then. Of course, all the talk, what's going to happen with James Franklin? Well, Virginia Tech, allegedly they're talking. I guess I'm a little surprised. I'm only thinking it like if I were a Virginia Tech fan. Their last coach was a former Penn State coach, and it didn't work out. So now they're going to maybe, possibly hire another Penn State coach. I mean, weeks ago, after the firing and whatever happened and so on, I just thought, if I'm a Virginia Tech fan, am I don't know, excited about this? Stay tuned. Let's see what happens. Personally, I'm no expert on this. It would be a good fit for him. All right. In other words, it wouldn't be an SEC team. This would be an ACC team. No offense, ACC. Football-wise, you're still not there yet. You're just not. Might be a good fit for him, but let's see what happens there. We all good?
Well, that is a good question. Let's give it a try just for the fun of it and see what happens here.
All right. We think we're going to take a break, and we think we'll come back, all right, right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, will be joining us in just a couple of minutes here, and we'll talk all things weather and, I suspect, maybe a little Texas A&M football, maybe a little Penn State wrestling thrown into the hopper here for good measure as well. But we'll get his... he'll let us know what's going to happen here Saturday night, weather-wise, at Beaver Stadium.
All right, now here's something. So I'm watching the wrestling match on the Big Ten Network the other night.
Yeah.
Okay. I was looking for you, and I'm looking for you. And like, do a camera angle over here or something. They didn't do it. Whatever. They're, okay, whatever it's called, man of the match or wrestler of the night. Is there such an award?
Penn State has the Ridge Riley.
And who got that?
Levi Haynes, I believe. Oh, well, no, that was the Big Ten Network. I think Connor Mirasola got it for... He knocked off the eighth-ranked wrestler in the country by major decision. So Connor Mirasola got the Ridge Riley Award.
Okay.
I think the Big Ten Network also gives out, like, their wrestler of the week. And I think that went to Levi Haynes.
Yes. Not Joe Seeley? Where was P.J. Duke? Why didn't P.J. Duke wrestle?
P.J. is still transitioning from freestyle to folk style, and he went up. He was at a higher weight class in the freestyle, and so he's in the process. They want to be smart about the way they're managing the weight and the season workload, and so he'll be back in the mix in very short order.
Okay.
Not 100% sure if he'll go this weekend. If he doesn't, I would certainly expect him for the Drexel and Lehigh dual meets. And appropriate time to bring in Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, as we talk some Penn State wrestling here. Joe, of course, a wrestling alum. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, pretty good. Hey, did you see that crowd at the National Duels last night?
You know, so I have little notes for my show tomorrow with Goon, and that is high on the list because there's a lot of talk about Penn State not being there, and, hey, we've got to grow the sport. And that is one of the questions. And I'm all for growing the sport. I'm all for let's think of new ways, new ideas. But Tulsa, Oklahoma, in mid-November, in an arena that size, I mean, it was cavernous.
Well, hold on, guys.
That's not a great look.
Wait, 20,000 fans showed up?
20, maybe.
20 fans showed up?
No, I mean...
There are a couple of things that I've been pushing something since the 80s. I guess Wade Schalas was into this, and it's interesting that it involves a guy that's on one end of the wrestling spectrum and the other end of the wrestling spectrum, putting forth the idea that you total up the match points, and that's your real score. Like, well, I think we won 151-30 over Oklahoma, and what there's no limits. I mean, if Mitchell wants to go out there and score 25 points, he can score 25 points. Why not? Michael Jordan would go. I heard a story about Michael Jordan. I think this is on The Last Dance, where he got mad at a friend of his who was a coach from another team because the guy didn't say hi. So he decided to light him up with 70 points in the game, you know, against his team. And so what happens is this. You will encourage more scoring, for one. You also get the fans into it more in that, the metric of success, I hate to say it, is how much gambling do people do on a sport, right? So if you start having over and unders of 120 in a wrestling match, for instance, and, you know, things like that, it will encourage people. Not only that, but encourage our guys to score. Now you say, well, what about a pin, Joe? What's a pin? A pin is worth 5 points more than the biggest difference you have in a match. And this is really interesting because you come to the heavyweight match, and let's say you have a dominant heavyweight and they don't. You could be trailing by a whole bunch of points. If you have a pin up on the board and the heavyweight can go out there and just really, or the last match, it doesn't have to be the heavyweight, go out there and just pound the opposite opponent, you can elevate your score. You can elevate your pin plus that. You can actually catch somebody, the equivalent of what, you know, SMU one time scored 21 points in a minute 42 seconds at the end of a football game to win. And those kind of things, wrestling, folks, is not a game. It's a sport. There's a big difference. It's not like, oh, I've got a ball. Here, let me throw you the ball. That's what Coach Cole used to say. Here, do you want to play with my ball? Here, you can have my ball. Right? wrestling is a sport, but it needs some extra gamesmanship. All right? Now, we are the Penn State philosophy, of course, and it's obvious to everyone, is to score as many points as you can. But why put a limit on it? Right? Why do that? And if you really want to get things going, then you can spread out the point. Now, everybody's against this. Everybody's just like shaking their heads. But something has to be done. The other thing is, if you're going to hold a national dual tournament to determine the champion, you do it 2 weeks after the real focus of wrestling, which is the NCAA tournament. But everybody's trying to, you know, recreate stuff. You can use the NCAA tournament as a continued escalation toward a national dual tournament 2 weeks later. You're competing with a college. I mean, this weekend with college football was absolutely crazy, right? I mean, we're all Penn State fans. Oh, I am an A&M fanatic. And I'll tell you what, I had to be in church all day Sunday to make up for the rage. I had such rage in the first half. No, I'm serious. And one of the things that got me mad is, you know, Aggie fans by nature are very, very, very loyal, but they're starting to get entitled. And I watch them on Twitter, and I'm like, what the heck's the matter? You know, this isn't what I grew up with down there. You know, in defense of them, nobody left the building down 30-3 with what had to be. And, a comeback. No one has ever come back from 27 points in Southeast Conference history, right? But you could see A&M was, you know, a better team, just shooting themselves in the foot, you know, and their fan base. And that's why when there was speculation Elko was going to leave, I knew that wasn't going to happen because, you know, they wouldn't be riding Elko out of town if they happened to lose this game. But my point is, well, you got that game, you got Alabama, you got, you know, all the. You're holding the thing. Oh, let's go challenge football for viewers, right? Not going to happen. So there is a way I think you can do it. And, you know, and the other thing is, too, and I'm sorry to do this, why is everybody so concerned about Cale? What drives them nuts is that he's not concerned about them. That gets them mad. It's like watching people. They're obsessed. And it's like, take care of your own team. Obviously, you know, Ohio State's got a darn good team out there.
They sure
year.
Do.
They have a darn good. Well, okay, well, what happens now if Nebraska and Ohio State meet in a dual meet and Nebraska comes back and beats them or Iowa comes back and beats them? Does that how would Ohio State be the national dual champion if two of the teams they beat happen to beat them in the regular season? So you put it at the end, and then you see what happens then, I think.
All right. Joe goes straight to the confessional. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I was watching this football game on Saturday.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm usually pretty. See, when you have battered Aggie syndrome, you just expect stuff like that to happen.
Understood.
But what got me mad was they should know. that in the Southeast Conference, you know, they got all these guys that can, you know, they play basketball on turf out there. South Carolina last year really just put the wood to them, and they had the same team back, so they were capable of doing it again. And I was just wondering, are you guys awake out there, or maybe it was too early in the morning, or I don't know what the heck was going on, but it was interesting in watching. Nobody left. Now, in defense of that, nobody leaves A&M before the band marches at halftime, so that might have had something to do with it. But it certainly was crazy. But how are you competing against that? I mean, or even the Alabama Oklahoma game, right? Which was another game that was wild. We'll just put our national tournament in the middle of essentially nowhere. Although I am a fan of Tulsa King, Stallone's thing. We'll put it out there, and we'll challenge college football as it's reaching its peak to make the playoffs. So it was a pretty interesting situation. There were a lot of people. I noticed there were a lot of people in Bryce Jordan Center the other night. You know, so that's pretty interesting. You can attract people to the sport, I think. All right, the weather.
Joe, before we get to the weather, very quickly, the most important thing, okay, should the Texas State Trooper be suspended?
Yeah, that was a bad look. But you know what I think it was. I think was happening to him. He was suffering from the same problem I was suffering for. You guys don't understand battered Aggie syndrome, because Penn State has won national titles in front of you, and they've also been undefeated. I mean, I could see us being mad at these undefeated teams. Should have been national championship teams. Would have been in there. Those undefeated teams Joe had would have been right in the playoff mix, and we probably would have four or five national titles.
Yep.
All right. But when that happened, I was like, what are you doing? Then I was thinking, he's probably just as mad or even worse than me. It's funny, game day at A&M, and you'll never see this. I follow the College Station police blog because it's hysterical. Man riding a bull down Main Avenue, and we made him take his bull back. I mean, there were like, you know, it's like a cow town out there, you know. I mean, it's not like a cow town anymore, but there are some bizarre sights you see down there. I mean, people riding up on horses and stuff. I mean, what the heck is this? They have a bass pond outside their football stadium, so you got people tailgating and fishing at the same time. It's just crazy, crazy stuff. But that's the greatest of college football. But again, get back to wrestling. Why are you challenging that? At the end of the year, we have less competition for eyes. The national tournament. So and so wins the national tournament. Can they hold it together for the duels? You know, that might be something, because look, the wrestling is a niche sport. Quite frankly, at least when I was here back in the 70s, I mean, if you wanted to go to a Clarion match, you better get in there early. You want to go to Bloomsburg. You want to go to Lock Haven, because they would always fill.
Yep.
Wrestling in the winter in Pennsylvania is like Friday Night Lights in football in Texas. Even with the high schools, it would always jammed. I used to admire people that threw chairs out on the mat.
There's something to be
said for that. Anyway.
All right.
Now, we have night football coming up at Beaver Stadium here in late November. And then we also have high school action, including State College, which will be in action in Altoona against Pittsburgh Central Catholic on Friday night. Certainly, November, nighttime, feels a little dicey, Joe. What can fans expect on Friday and Saturday night? If I'm sure some in our audience are going to both of those games. They'll be out watching football at night in late November this weekend.
Well, I think for Friday night, there's probably going to be some rain around in the evening, and it'll be chilly. It'll be in the 40s. All right. I mean, this is it's sort of a dicey situation, and you have a weak area of low pressure going by to the south of us. Right now, Saturday looks like a great day, and Saturday night looks good to me. So I'm not really concerned about the Penn State game.
Well, that's
but the Friday night football may be marred by a. I don't think it's a washout, but I think you're going to have to be a fan if it's chilly and rainy during a football game. But, you know, considering some of the other stuff that's happened in November, I mean, 1995 on this day, we were digging out from a 15-inch snowstorm. So things have been worse at this time of the year. And, yeah, we may get a little bit of rain and snow. We might Wednesday morning might get up, see a little bit of snow on the ground. There's some snow on the ground in parts of the area this morning because of the snow squalls last night. But it wasn't like last Tuesday morning where everybody got them. But this pattern, you know, once we get to Thanksgiving and beyond, and we've been saying that, look out, this could be a December to remember, and it still looks that way to me. And that'd be a real feather in my company's cap. August 29th, we put out our winter forecast, and one of the five bullet points was to look out Thanksgiving to Christmas this year and toward New Year's for an early winter. And that's based on what happens at the back part of the hurricane season. When you have tranquil hurricane seasons, in other words, not much going on relative to the second half of the season, there tends to be a lot of cold in December getting into the pattern.
Oh, boy. All right. Now, Joe, December to remember kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think the over – let me say, the over-under on snow in December – if I were to choose an over and under, I'd choose 10. And if I were to choose temperature deviation to normal right now, I'd have minus 3. But one of the interesting things is we've got a major stratospheric warming event going on, and they are rare in November. And the years that happened, I mean, they're like the who's who of cold Decembers in the United States. And that's very interesting. 1983, 1989, and 2000. Are the only three major November disruptions in the stratosphere that we're seeing. And also something that, you know, I look at as a Madden-Julian oscillation, very similar to 83 and 89. And when that rotated around, we had very, very cold Decembers. We had white Christmases, and it wasn't like we had, you know, punishing snowstorms. We'd have 3-4 inches of snow and it'd stick around. But it's just an absolutely fascinating weather pattern right now. And what's even wilder is most of the Octobers into mid-November across the United States are warm, centered in the center of the country. And that's exactly what we're seeing now. So it's an interesting pattern. But to sum up for the football game Friday night, I think you have to deal with some rain and chilly temperatures in the 40s, all right? And Saturday night for the second whiteout of the year, I guess it's going to be. We're going to try to, that's what I heard. I don't know, but a nighttime football game at Penn State. Well, we got to listen. This is I guess I'm now on the Terry Smith bandwagon for. I was just thinking about it. This guy is really, really doing a good job, I think. And but anyway, I want to see our team win and win out, and then I guess we're. The rumor is we're facing Pitt in the Pinstripe Bowl if we can win out.
Oh,
which we
really?
Hey, come on!
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
Well, no, Pinstripe Bowl. I get it's the Pitt part that I go. Oh,
yeah, but no, but we should play Pitt just like A&M should play Texas. I mean, we should play Pitt, and you know, because if you don't play them and beat them off, they start getting uppity. I mean, you know, you got to try to keep the rankings in place.
Sure.
That was the other thing, the College Game Day at the University of Pittsburgh. There couldn't have been 1,000 people there. I mean, I saw the shot overhead, and, you know, it was surrounding the area, but it wasn't like it was mobbed all over the place. So that was interesting to watch, too. Notre Dame is a good football team, too. So, you know, everybody's moaning, oh, they lost to A&M, they lost to Miami, and Miami might be 10-2. Yeah, Miami, I don't know. But fascinating stuff. So, folks, to sum up, we may have to deal with a little bit of snow tomorrow night, snow and a little bit of sleet, freezing rain and rain. You know, and don't be surprised. You wake up Wednesday morning, and there's a coating to an inch or two of snow and garbage on the ground. But it will go away, and it will be nice on Thursday. Unfortunately, Friday night, it may rain a bit. Saturday is going to be a glorious day and an even better night because we're going to send them Huskers back to Nebraska. I got, you know, I do Larry the Cable Guy's show on Sirius XM, and so there's going to be some jousting on Wednesday because you know he's a huge Nebraska fan.
Well, we all have our downfalls, Mr. Bastardi. In the meantime, what pray tell should we do with this here weather?
Enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got. And thank God you're a Penn State wrestling fan. Do that every day.
Amen, brother.
Okay.
That is Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Folks, we hope you have a great rest of your Monday, and we will be back tomorrow morning.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.